There is nothing holy about turning someone away from a hospital. There's nothing holy about rejecting a child from a family.
I believe that astrology is an extraordinary tool for righteous living that puts us in alignment with spiritual values and considerations.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. U.S. primary elections yield rainbow results. Ocasio-Cortez sides with Jesus against religious bias. And gay astrologer liberates love in the queer cosmos. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 7th, 2020. The largest ever field of LGBTQ candidates running in U.S. state primary elections on March 3rd generally did very well. 38 openly queer candidates were backed by the nonpartisan Victory Fund, and at least 28 of them will move on to represent their political parties in the November general elections. Three races remain too close to call. Among the notable victories, Todd Gloria won his primary and is expected to become the first openly gay mayor of San Diego, California. Durham, North Carolina City Council member Vernetta Alston won the District 29 primary for the State General Assembly. Out Filipina-American Iraq War veteran Gina Ortiz won the Democratic primary in a congressional district between El Paso and San Antonio. In November, Ortiz could become the first queer lawmaker in Texas. She's just part of what The Advocate calls the Lone Star State's Democratic primary rainbow wave. Four LGBTQ candidates beating incumbent state representatives and five queer incumbents fending off primary challenges. Oh, and what about notoriously homophobic Alabama judge and repeat Republican Senate wannabe Roy Moore? He lost badly in a field topped by another notorious Alabama homophobe, former Trump Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Lesbian former mayor of Houston, Texas, Anise Parker, now leads the Victory Fund. She said, "We are rewriting the rules on electability and embracing the fact that America is ready to elect LGBTQ candidates up and down the ballot." Emory University political science professor Alan Abramowitz gave credit to former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Abramowitz told the Reuters news agency that Buttigieg's presidential campaign inspired more LGBTQ people to run for office and added that there's a greater acceptance of the LGBT community among the public and a willingness to vote for LGBTQ candidates in many parts of the country. It may also be significant that 1 in 10 voters identified as LGBTQ, according to an NBC News exit poll conducted in 12 of the 14 states that voted in the so-called Super Tuesday primaries. A third of those queer voters were under the age of 30, and 65% were under 45. Virtually half of them identified as very liberal, while 30% said they are somewhat liberal. Only 4% called themselves conservative. According to the same poll, about 42% of queer Democrats said they cast their presidential primary votes for Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Some 22% backed the other progressive candidate, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Warren ended her campaign on March 5th after disappointing Super Tuesday results. That leaves former Vice President Joe Biden vying for the Democratic nomination against Sanders. Biden attracted less than 20% of the queer vote in the primary. But the prospect of another 4 years of Donald Trump is expected to drive most LGBTQ voters to whichever Democrat opposes him in November.
An Aboriginal smoking ceremony and Welcome to Country by Graham Sims kicked off this year's Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade on February 29th. A crowd of about 200,000 people cheered parade leaders Dykes on Bikes and close to 200 floats during the annual evening festivities. Looming coronavirus fears may have contributed to a slightly smaller than usual turnout. Not surprisingly, the loudest cheers were for members of the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, who heroically battled this year's horrendous bushfires. The usual number of local, state, and federal politicians were there to glad hand potential voters. Dua Lipa and Sam Smith joined the march ahead of their headline performances at the massive dance party later that night. As qnews.com.au noted, in the true spirit of Mardi Gras, the parade was not without political flair. The crowd seemed to enjoy a group in navy blue jumpsuits emblazoned with the words, Department of Homo Affairs. However, three of them were arrested when they tried to block the Liberal Party float. The Liberal Prime Minister was mocked by several people prancing around in giant Scott Morrison masks, another entertaining but apparently unsanctioned parade contingent. There were far more thumbs down than up for the ballyhooed free worldwide live coverage of the event. SBS was criticized for spending more screen time on celebrity and host chit-chat and commercials than the actual parade itself.
More than 130 filmmakers from around the world are boycotting an Israeli government-sponsored LGBT film festival in Tel Aviv. At least 100 queer filmmakers are among the group refusing to submit films or otherwise participate in events that, in the words of their pledge, are partially or fully sponsored by complicit Israeli institutions until Israel complies with international law and respects Palestinian rights. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the petition was organized by the Palestinian Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel. The group says they want to counter Israel's effort to project a progressive image while denying the rights of all Palestinians, queer and non-queer alike. Some critics perpetuate the idea that many of the people behind the boycott actually seek Israel's destruction. Queer Palestinians are squeezed in the middle between Netanyahu's policies and those of the Palestinian Authority. Homosexual acts are illegal in the Gaza Strip, but not in the West Bank. However, Israeli authorities generally greet Palestinian LGBTQ people fleeing oppression with house arrest or deportation. The 15th annual Tel Aviv International LGBT Film Festival is scheduled for June 4th through the 13th.
Miss Staten Island, Madison Lanzalata, was banned from her New York City borough's annual St. Patrick's Day parade just hours after she came out as bisexual. Parade President Larry Cummings also banned a parade entry by the Pride Center of Staten Island for the 10th consecutive year. He calls it a non-sexual identification parade. Cummings claimed that banning Miss Staten Island was for her own safety. He then banned 17-year-old Miss Richmond County outstanding teen Victoria Montori for vocally supporting Lanzalata. Miss Richmond County Gabriel Ryan and Staten Island outstanding teen Angelica Mrocek announced that they would boycott the parade in response. Cummings also gave the boot to two Staten Island high school marching bands because they wore Rainbow Heart stickers. Staten Island has held a St. Patrick's Day parade for more than 50 years, typically attracting about 50,000 spectators. Just like the event in Manhattan, the Staten Island Parade is organized by the Irish Catholic Ancient Order of Hibernians. However, the much bigger march in Midtown finally allowed LGBTQ entries for the first time in 2015. Miss Staten Island Lanzalata doesn't regret coming out for one millisecond. She told the New York Post, "I said what I have to say. I still think that my message got across, and that's most important."
Finally, a Dallas-Fort Worth area Texas school teacher suspended for promoting a homosexual agenda has won a $100,000 settlement. Art teacher Stacy Bailey was placed on administrative leave at Charlotte Anderson Elementary School in August 2017. A parent had complained about Bailey discussing her future wife as part of a get-to-know-your-teacher presentation. Included were slides showing her fiancé, Julie Vasquez, along with photos of friends, relatives, and her dog. Twice named Mansfield Independent School District Teacher of the Year, after the suspension, Bailey was reassigned to Lake Ridge High School in 2018. She sued the district in May 2018 in federal court for discrimination based on sexual orientation. A judge ruled in October 2019 that the district had indeed violated Bailey's constitutional rights. In the out-of-court settlement, the district denied any wrongdoing and said Bailey was disciplined for the age-inappropriate presentation. A spokesperson said that it wanted to resolve the matter to avoid the time, expense, and stress and other impacts of continuing litigation.
The settlement requires the district to conduct mandatory LGBTQ sensitivity training for human resources personnel and counselors, and to also offer it to interested staffers and parents, to have the school board vote for an anti-discrimination policy, to expunge the suspension from Bailey's record, and to provide her with a neutral letter of recommendation. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments last October in three related queer right-to-work cases. The legal arguments for the LGBTQ people at the center of those cases, however, center on existing federal civil rights laws rather than the Constitution to assert that they are protected from discrimination. The Mansfield Independent School District vote on an anti-bias provision will reportedly come after the High Court issues its ruling in those cases, most likely in June of this year. Bailey and Vasquez, who married in March 2018, say that they'll donate $10,000 of the settlement to an as-yet-unnamed LGBTQ nonprofit group. Their attorney, Jason C.N. Smith, told CNN that he'd donate $10,000 of his reduced legal fees to the Human Rights Campaign. Bailey said at a press conference that, "If you are a school district who thinks you can bully and shame a gay teacher out of their job, I hope you remember my name. And I hope you think twice."
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending March 7th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
The quality of our relationships determines the quality of our life. And what are we doing to really enhance the quality of our relationships? And how can spiritual practices, i.e. astrology, extend meaningful connection towards other people?
Astrology that's not just pie in the sky, later in the program. U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez crushed the false dichotomy of faith versus the left during a congressional hearing this week. New York's Democratic firebrand and queer ally addressed the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, which is looking into how Trump administration policies have undermined LGBTQ rights.
Raise your voice so high, like it's a piece of the sky. Let it rain down around you, let it rain. Raise your voice so high, like it's a piece of the sky. Let it rain down around us all.
I'm experiencing this hearing and I'm struggling whether I respond or launch into this question as a legislator or from the perspective of a woman of faith, because I cannot, it's very difficult to sit here and listen to arguments in the long history of this country of using scripture and weaponizing and abusing scripture to justify bigotry. White supremacists have done it. Those who justified slavery did it. Those who fought against integration did it. And we're seeing it today. And sometimes, especially in this body, I feel as though if Christ himself walked through these doors and said what he said thousands of years ago, that we should love our neighbor and our enemy, that we should welcome the stranger, fight for the least of us, that it is easier for a rich man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into a kingdom of heaven, he would be maligned as a radical and rejected from these doors. And I know, and it is part of my faith, that all people are holy and all people are sacred unconditionally. And that is what makes faith sometimes, that's what prompts us to transform, because it is unconditional. It's not about that it is up to us to love parts of people. We love all people. There is nothing holy about rejecting medical care of people, no matter who they are on the grounds of what their identity is. There is nothing holy about turning someone away from a hospital. There's nothing holy about rejecting a child from a family. There's nothing holy about writing discrimination into the law. And I am tired of communities of being of faith being weaponized and being mischaracterized because the only time religious freedom is invoked is in the name of bigotry and discrimination. I'm tired of it. And so I just have to get that out ahead of time because it is deeply disturbing. Not just what is happening here, but what this administration is advancing is the idea that religion and faith is about exclusion. It is not up to us. It is not up to us to deny medical care. It is up to us to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to protect children, and to love all people as ourselves.
Raise your voice so high, like it's a piece of the sky. Let it rain down around us all. Let it rain down around us all. Let it rain down around us all. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. Congressperson Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, member of the U.S. House Committee on Oversight and Reform.
I'm Reverend Troy Perry, and I'm listening to This Way Out.
How do we find the empathy we need to know we're not alone? And how do we find our way back to each other is really, especially now, I think, the biggest question before us.
We'll look at that big question as it relates to humans, but first, let's hear how some of the birds do it.
The albatross, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Researchers have long known that same-sex couples are common in the animal kingdom. Over 1,500 animal species are known to practice same-sex pairings, including bears, gorillas, bees, owls, penguins, and whales. Lindsay Young and other colleagues at the University of Hawaii found that about a third of Laysan albatross pairs consist of two unrelated females. Many are monogamous, with both parents pitching in to help raise a single hatchling. Young said, "The longest we've seen them stay together so far is 19 years. If a male comes up to one female in the pair, the second female gets really possessive." Young also suspects same-sex pairings occur with other seabirds, saying, "This may be a lot more common than we realize, so the race is on to find out." The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Dustin Richardson.
Yourself are a Gemini.
Correct. Yeah. So now, and everybody like shuts off the radio. No.
Last time on This Way Out, Colin Bedell gave R. John Dyer V the first reading of his new book, Queer Cosmos, The Astrology of Queer Identities and Relationships. In part two, Colin liberates the star story and reads John.
How much difference would you say there is, just in a general way, between queer astrology and more traditional or familiar versions?
The way that I'm now investigating this conversation moving forward is kind of a both-end quality, right? Very queer insofar as what this system means for its practitioners and what it is doing to other people. Because this is separate, right? What it is doing to other people, John, is they feel like their charts are therefore fundamentally flawed. And the last thing we need people to do right now is feel like they need to be stuck in shame. And if you're an astrologer, you have a sacred responsibility to be a way shower and an alternative possibility model for others. So if conversations make people feel like they can't fly a full wingspan, I think you're being irresponsible with your gift in your conversation. And I need to say that. I want to know your footnotes. I want to know your resources. I want to know that this is more than just the way you interpret it, and put it in conversation with what the secular researchers are saying. And I'm all ears.
Tell us a little bit about how you came to your spirituality.
Oh, great. Yeah, because, well, and from a semantics point of view, really just spirituality is the path of the heart, right? So there's no doctrine, there's no dogma, there's no, oh, we need to find spirituality through religious approaches, especially as queer people. We know how those institutions and language have been weaponized against us. So it's really just the path of your inner knowing. So I believe that astrology is an extraordinary tool for righteous living that puts us in alignment with spiritual values and considerations. And I have noticed in my own life that where astrology is the most spiritual is in my relationship with other people. The quality of our relationships determines the quality of our life. And what are we doing to really enhance the quality of our relationships? And how can spiritual practices, i.e. astrology, extend meaningful connection towards other people? Because it does. It's helped me in my experience and others.
In the book, you go into how astrology works.
Mm-hmm.
And you do cover a good deal of trying to break it down.
Hopefully.
And simplify. But for our listening audience,
yes,
what would be the best way for a novice to dive into that deep end of the more math-heavy aspects astrology? Because it does get very mathematical.
It can get very technical, yes. Okay, so before a reading starts, because I give personalized readings, so I break it down with just certain metaphors to help. When I see a chart, I see a story. And what I do in my readings is I tell the story of your chart. And what we want to do is see how your life experience lines up with this chart. And if it's lining up well, great. Then take the reading as ultimate confirmation validation that you're on the right path, even if you don't have experience to confirm it. Just keep walking with trust and faith. Because why would you have this chart if you weren't meant to be provided with the means of its accomplishment? And what is the means of its accomplishment? Ultimately, our self-actualization, right?
Right.
So when it comes down to the chart then, you want to know that every planet, so the way to unlock it is planets, signs, houses. Every planet is a storyteller, telling a particular theme about our experience, right? So the sun represents our will, our identity, the story that we're meant to inhabit in this lifetime. The sign that it's transiting in is the story that that storyteller is meant to be telling, right? So for you, it's Scorpio. You're meant to be exploring truth, intimacy, trust, the complexities of the light and the dark together, and how they can use those energies to be a transformational agent personally, relationally, and communally. And then the house that your sun is in then corresponds to the environment by which it is meant to be told, right? So the stage that story is meant to be told. And then for the mathematical component of it, that's really where aspects come into play. So there's many different ways you can look at that. And for looking at the sun as such an example, because you do have an aspect in your chart with the sun, it's opposite your moon, right? Because you're born in a full moon. You have a moon in Taurus and a sun in Scorpio at 3 degrees exactly. So you're born at the exact moment of the full moon lunation during the month. So in order for you to know your whole story about that, you cannot talk about your Taurus sun without connecting it to your Scorpio moon, or vice versa, excuse me, Scorpio sun, Taurus moon.
Okay.
So hopefully that breaks it down. Planet as storyteller, zodiac sign as story, house as environment by which it's meant to be told. It shouldn't be complicated.
You know, you see things like sidereal and Vedic and you're like, huh?
Yeah, and great, but like, come on. That's where I'm at. I'm like, this is way too jargon heavy, everybody. Like, it's 2020. Advance the conversation, make it accessible. Because those tinges of intellectual inaccessibility, what are we really doing here?
Obfuscating.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Scorpio sun. Yes, speak it, name it. So, yeah, if we can't, first of all, we don't know it if we're not making it simple. And secondly, if we're people born outside of majority culture, we know what it feels like not to belong to, like, the club. So, like, everybody, enough with these concepts and technique. Like, enough.
I love it. So, what's coming up next for you now, whether this tour or a future project?
Oh, great. So, What I would like to do is start to provide accessible online educational curriculums and platforms for people to learn about astrology and how it intersects with universal spiritual themes and secular principles of personal growth, particularly related to the research of fellow Scorpio, Dr. Brené Brown, and everything that she has done to investigate shame and its primary antidotes, because loneliness is the number one public health crisis in the United States. And I think that spiritual seekers and anybody involved in personal growth can contribute an enormous amount of help and healing. And that is the conversation I feel most drawn to serve, in ways in which I can try to talk about what universal spiritual ideas have, what is shame. It's the single greatest barrier between ourselves and the relationships that we deserve, right? How do we wrap resilience around that and find the empathy we need to know we're not alone? And how do we find our way back to each other is really, especially now, I think, the biggest question before us.
And I think that scares a lot of people.
Without a doubt, because I think, once again, we have to realize that the values that we've learned about life related to, oh, go out there and grab the bull by the horns and you better make your dreams come true. And are you getting everything that you want? And is this the high yield? And is this what you bargained for? Okay, well, how much longer is it going to be all about me? And how do I go, oops, I've definitely been living from this self-preoccupied place. Whoopsies. Now I'm going to relearn other ways, because actually my relational intelligence determines my individual competency. So I'm not missing out on anything, because the stronger my network, the stronger my social skills, the stronger my community. This has immediate ameliorative effects on my health, my finances, and my professional outcomes. So yes, it's hard, but it's also like, and also it's harder to think you got to do it all by yourself and it's all about you. So
yeah, that's a lot of upkeep.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And that's just the culture that we live in. So like, let's just acknowledge it. We've all been fed the same bill of lies. Okay. And that's why spirituality is an unlearning. It's not a learning, but an unlearning. And that's what spirituality does. Remove the excess crap.
You can say crap.
Oh, good. Okay. And then you have no choice but to let the soul, the Shekinah, the Buddha mind, the Christ mind, whatever language we use, to extend outward.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So are there any final words or thoughts about Queer Cosmos that you would like to share?
It would make me very happy to know that the book is a could be a helpful resource to others to feel more relationally connected, because it all comes back to the quality of connections that we have with others. And if my book could be moderately helpful in that, it would be a real honor, and know that the book was worth the work.
Yeah. Wonderful. That was Colin Bedell, and he's promoting his new book, Queer Cosmos. You can go to queercosmos.com.
Yes.
For This Way Out, this is John Dyer V.
There's more. Colin Bedell talks about Mercury going retrograde for the upcoming U.S. elections only at thiswayout.org. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and Michael LeBeau, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Dustin Richardson, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and from John Dyer V, edited by Marlena Bond. Trip Fury and the motion picture and Broadway casts of Hair performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Christopher Matthews, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Together with all of our listener donors, they make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org, across Europe, the Asia-Pacific region, Africa, and the Middle East on the World Radio Network, and on KUR, Kurtztown, Pennsylvania, WRFN, Nashville, Tennessee, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Now, y'all, stay tuned.